This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
What's your view? Let us know by sending us a text 0427-JOY949 or on Twitter at SatMagJoy949.
You're on Saturday Magazine with Macca and
the Land Edna. Of Vegetarian Lasagna.
We now have CEO of Living Positive on the line. Welcome to the show, Richard.
Good morning. How are you both?
Look, pretty good, pretty good. And I know you normally love to come into the studio, but
I do.
You've actually, well, you're doing the right thing because potentially you might have been exposed to a dose of COVID. So Richard is saying, no, I'm not coming.
Thank you for doing the right thing.
So thank you for that. But also you've got there's a lot happening in the Living Positive space at the moment, isn't there?
Yes, there is. Today is the first day that Medicare ineligible access will be provided by the Victorian state government. So for those people in Australia living with HIV, there used to be a compassionate access scheme, which was run by the pharmaceutical company. And late last year, and you'll know our good friend of the show, Scott Harlan, was in for an interview with you, Macca, just recently talking about the negotiations about reaching this level. And I think from my perspective, when we look forward and we really are trying everything we can to work towards virtual elimination of HIV, this initiation of this program is a huge step towards that. And it means that people who are here, not on a short-term stay, but for longer periods, so maybe queer students, a whole range of other people on working visas that may be living with HIV, now have full access to the best medications that other Australians have the privilege of accessing also.
Now, you can probably remember, because you've been around a while, Richard, when a previous Victorian Health Minister, John Thwaites, made a number of STD medications available free at the Melbourne Sexual Health Clinic and some other clinics. That was a very long time ago. So why has it taken this long with this for this to happen with HIV medications?
Oh, I think it's just the whole framework about the inequities for people who come here as students, who come here as 457 visa holders and on working permits and other things like that. We saw through COVID that unfortunately, because there wasn't citizenship involved, they weren't able to access the relief that other people had access to. And so in some ways, there's a whole range of inequities. And I heard you talking to our Lord Mayor of Melbourne earlier this morning about migrant communities and other things like that. And I just think this is an essential part of us moving forward. So everybody living with HIV who is here in Australia now has access to medications. And it might sound like a privilege in some ways, but it's absolutely integral in ensuring that people stay healthy while they're here and that we also have the opportunity to reduce forward transmission of HIV with access to quality medication.
It's so important, Richard, you know, that this has happened. I would have liked it to have happened earlier, but it's happened now. So that's a good thing. What else is on the horizon?
Exciting happening in Brisbane later this year.
I think there is. What's going on there?
We've got a huge international science conference in Brisbane. The IAS conference, International AIDS Society, will be here talking about the latest scientific advances in HIV. There's 6,000 delegates from all over the globe who are about to descend on Brisbane. And one of the exciting things around it, even though it's a pretty dry scientific conference in some ways, but the weekend before, we've enabled a whole range of community engagement activities. And there's going to be a workshop on migration, which will have a global focus, as people know. I mean, we think about what's going on in Ukraine and the movement of people as a result of war, but across those other regions, which are high prevalence regions, and we look at Myanmar in our region, and we look at Africa, all those people on the move and all of those people living with HIV, there still remains a whole range of barriers for entry into countries to seek asylum for people living with HIV. Mm. And so there's going to be a really broad-based global discussion on how do we support people who are mobile because of war, because of government breakdown, because of a whole range of things that get people on the move globally. And what does it mean for these people if their treatment is interrupted, if they don't have treatment access and become quite ill during that process? How can we, as I guess a global north country and doing well, how can we influence those conversations about how do we support these people and maintain their well-being?
Yeah, it's hugely important. So that's coming up there. What about locally, Richard? What's on the what do you guys got planned for the next few months?
So we have today our winter social, our Planet Positive event, which was oversubscribed. So they'll be having a great day down at the Laird today. And we run a whole range, Macca, as you would know, and I heard earlier on, and it's great that Bobby Goldsmith Foundation now has Ida Buttrose as their patron. But
yes,
what they don't have is Macca and Nirvana and Joy FM to help us get our message out to the community. And the essential partnership that this has and the ability for us to talk about the work we do is invaluable for me. We just recently ran our first South Asian peer support group, and it's the first one in the country of its nature. And we have a range of community connection programs for people that are, we have big events like today that are all inclusive for all people living with HIV, but we also really do understand our community and have also some smaller targeted events to support communities who have similar intersectional, cultural and other factors that might impact their well-being with HIV. And we're really proud of those suite of services. And I encourage any person living with HIV or any person interested to access our website at livingpositivevictoria.org.au to see some of the amazing programs that we run.
And I think that is such an important acknowledgement that we can't just have broad stroke interventions, services, health promotion campaigns. The shoe doesn't always fit on the same foot over and over. So I think that's just such a strong testament to not only understanding your communities, but understanding your community's needs.
Absolutely. And the joy of it is that this is developed by those clients that come in and engage with us. So my idea of good leadership is to create an environment where I get out the way and don't have to micromanage and trust those communities to come together, because they establish lifelong links. They support each other. They increase their quality of life by being together. And we learn so much about areas we have to prioritise with advocacy just by providing these opportunities for people to come together.
What a novel approach, Macca, listening to people and allowing people to self-organise.
I know. What it's an interesting concept, isn't it? I could think of some other organisations that could do that, and perhaps some political parties. In terms of advocacy, Richard, in the coming years, you know, to ask you to look into the crystal ball, what are some of the issues that you think are going to, that aren't perhaps really on the radar now, but you think are going to have increasing importance that Living Positive and you know, colleague organisations are going to have to get involved in? Is there something?
It's really clear for us.
Yep.
The challenge is going to be, and you've spoken about it this morning, you've spoken about the impacts of cost of living on people. People are struggling and doing it tough. And people that used to be getting along okay are really finding those bills mounting up, a whole range of things like that. So in some ways, we'll be moving to provide support to people. But in other ways, it also lays itself over the capacity of our organisations. It's a really restricted funding environment at the moment.
Yeah.
And we understand that. People are hurting, but organisations are going to be expected to do more with less. So we'll be refining, and we're about to launch our new strategic plan for the next 5 years next week. And I hope I might be able to come in and have a chat with you in
a couple
of months after we've rolled that out. And that will guide us in this funding-constrained future. The pie is not getting bigger, But what we need to do is continue to listen to our community to help us set our priorities moving forward. As we look at things that are in the state strategy, like reducing stigma in healthcare settings, our work and advocacy in those areas is going to be absolutely essential, and also lifting people's quality of life and the quality of life that they live. The whole philosophy of our organisation is to get people in, pick them up, allow them those really valuable community connections. It's a really funny thing, Macca, but when you sit, even if they've got nothing to do with each other, you sit a room full of positive people together, you hear that dialogue, and all of a sudden there's those little moments where you think, oh, that's my experience as well. Oh, that's something that I've been through. And this dialogue and community engagement actually lifts people to live their lives to their full potential. And that'll be our focus moving forward, because we will have to justify that we need ongoing funding to support people living with HIV, particularly as we approach virtual elimination. The pressures to reduce that funding and think the job is done will be our main challenge of how do we continue to tell those stories? How do we continue to work with research to provide the data to say that we still need that support for positive people to live well?
Well, it won't surprise you, Richard. My view has always been that every issue is a positive issue.
Yep.
And, you know, categorising, oh, well, no, look, we don't need to speak with positive folk about that. It's not something they, you know, get involved in or whatever. No, every issue is a positive issue. And people, when you advocate to them on that, you know, they look across the table at you like you're completely mad. But that's right. They can't help it if they're wrong.
But you speak with that history, Macca, and you understand that this is now a multi-generational response. There's a whole range of communities, and I talk about it, and someone raised an issue with me the other day, and they said, why is there still stigma amongst gay men about HIV and other things? And I took a deep breath, because I, unfortunately, some of the worst stigma I've ever experienced has been from other gay men.
Oh, yeah.
However, when you take a step back, Macca, and you have that history and that insight that you do, you realise that HIV has impacted every gay man, whether they're living with it, whether they're not living with it. It's changed our views. It's divided us in some ways. It's challenged us in across multi-generations. So it's understandable why that stigma exists, but it's our goal to reduce it.
Yeah. Richard Keane, CEO of Living Positive, thank you for your time. Also,
thanks as always to both of you.
Thank you for your work. We look forward to speaking to you again, you know, in the next month.
And we hope it's not COVID, fingers crossed.
Yeah, yeah, hope it's not.
No, it's just a tickle, I think.
Yeah. Have a great day, have a great event, and, you know, we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, Richard.
Take care. Thank you both.
Thank you. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. We're going to have news again at midday. And I'm going to now actually quickly thank our guests so that we can then finish with the announcements that we need to. So I want to thank Josh Burns, who was out walking his dog when we rang, and we rang a bit early because I got it wrong. Sally Capp, who's up in northern Victoria somewhere, Lord Mayor Sally Capp, for her, I think her mother-in-law.
Yeah. June Sutherland's 89th birthday.
Not the singer. birthday. And it's always good to speak with Sally. Oh, and then we had Claudia Nguyen, the mayor of the city of Yarra. We had
Abe Pulieri, who is the Greens MLC for the North Eastern Metropolitan Region.
And Richard Keane, the CEO of Living Positive. Thank you for listening to Saturday Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.